Session 124, January 23, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 3 of the Seth Material. Session 124 was an informal session. Rob was not able to take notes, but basically Seth was commenting about the features of Jane, nothing significant, and I've chosen to skip it. Session 125, January 25, 1965. Session 125, January 25, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 3 of the Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I am pleased, as always, to begin another session, and we will cover a variety of rather allied subjects this evening. These will include material that directly follows from our previous session, and also a few comments concerning the experiments which you have been carrying on, more or less on your own. We have been speaking of the electric reality and actuality of thoughts and emotions and dreams, and of all such experiences which appear to be purely psychological in origin, and take up no space in your physical universe. I have also mentioned that the electrical field has its own variety of dimensions with which you are not familiar. Now, indeed, this electrical field, in which thoughts and emotions and dreams have an independent reality, this field contains depths and dimensions of a sort most difficult to explain. Depths are contained within this system that are not depths in terms of space, but rather definite depths and dimensions in terms of varying intensities. There is also here a duration that is closely connected with intensity, but not with continuity in terms of time, as it is usually understood in the physical field. In the electrical field, it is the intensity of any given actuality that determines this sort of duration, and the intensity can project such an actuality into many dimensions at once. The intensity of a given actuality within the electrical field of itself determines the other dimensions of the actuality. In the physical universe, height and thickness determine, to a large degree, the potentialities, physically speaking, of any organism. Within the electrical system, intensity is also responsible for the potentiality, duration, and electrical mass, which is a mass of a different sort, a mass that takes up no space and is not made of matter as you know it, but mass whose thickness is one of varying electrical intensities which form a definite shape, a separate field more or less, an electrical-coded counterpart for physical matter. It is difficult to explain this to you, since old concepts must be used in a new way. But in this electrical system, a travel through time would merely involve a journey through intensities. This has many implications, as you should see when you read it. Rob notes, Jane here took quite a long pause, one of the few such that she used during the session. Seth, there is indeed an electrical journeying through these intensities. There is constant motion in this system, as in all others, and the constant motion within the electrical system makes motion possible within your own system, and time is indeed here an electrical impulse that grows by intensity and not by moments. To speak of backward and forward is meaningless. There are only various electrical pulsations of varying intensities, from strong intensity to ever stronger, to weaker, to fading, and again to stronger, even stronger. Since strong intensities are indeed natural results of weaker intensities, it should be meaningless to call one present and one past. Yet within your physical field and with physical time, you ride the waves of these pulsations, so to speak. When the pulsation is weak, you call it past. When it is strongest, you name it present. And the one that seems to you not yet as strong as present, you name future. For you make the divisions yourselves, and in such a manner have made the framework and all the possibilities, potentials, and limitations inherent within a system set up with a divided time system. I suggest your break. Rob notes break at 9:27. Jane was well dissociated as usual. She resumed in the same manner at 9:35. Seth. Nor, in the electrical system, is there distance in terms of space or time. There is, again, depth, which is a depth of intensity. And yet within this depth of intensity, there exist distances in terms of action, which is a fairly new idea in these sessions. You conceive of action in terms of time. Since within the physical field, a given action appears to actually take up time, almost in the same way that a chair seems to take up space. The chair, of course, does not take up space, but is part of what you call space. Nor does the action take up time. It is part of what you call time. Nevertheless, in the electrical system, there is a distance in terms of action. Each action is separate and not continuous with other actions in terms of continuity. The distance occurs within the intensity of an action within the electrical field. As to say, you could fall into depths of intensity. The falling into would itself involve action. The action, as it happens then, falling through the intensities, would be falling into what I mean by distance. Dreams have this kind of distance. Again, as a simple analogy, in a dream you may travel down a road. This involves distance in essence, although within your physical universe, the particular road does not exist, so that spatially no distance would exist. I mean that the distance would not exist spatially, but the distance would exist. Action within the electrical system, then, would involve this same sort of distance without space, and the road would then be an imaginary road of intensity. Now I would like to make some comments concerning your own experiments. They can indeed be beneficial. As certain conditions were met, however, before our sessions began, so certain conditions must be met before your experiments in other directions bear fruit. Sometimes you meet some of them, sometimes you meet none of them. Yet a trial and error period is extremely necessary, and in your case, natural, and should not lead to discouragement. As in many other instances, I do not try to push you, for you must learn many things by yourselves, and your own subconscious will pace you. You will learn as you learn. You know that a conscientious determination, such as Rupert occasionally shows, will get you nowhere. A deadly seriousness can, but is not necessarily detrimental. Some discipline is, of course, needed, but a sense of spontaneity is most important, and indeed a momentary lapse of critical attention. I bring this up now since there is a connection here. If you will excuse a pun, but there is a connection here with the electrical field. You realize now that the psychological conditions have their existence within electrical reality, and so certain frames of mind will then be duplicated within the electrical field. Many effects are built up in this manner. Any personalities, any entities that do enter your physical plane must use some camouflage material if they are to be physically perceived. In such circumstances, Rupert would act as a sort of director, gathering together the subconscious energies of those with you and making those energies available to any possible entity. The energies would be transformed literally into electric patterns, which such an entity could then use. But many conditions are necessary for this transformation. Friday or Saturday were poor evenings for various reasons, having to do with weather, emotional climate, and also having to do with Mark's physical and emotional state. Had you been proficient, the night might have been successful. We will have more to say in the future regarding such experiments in general. Naturally, it is possible to have many successful experiments along these lines. Again, conditions must be met. Subconsciously, you will make your own progress. You will simply not have visiting apparitions Monday through Saturday, nor will you ever be certain ahead of time, regardless of proficiency, as to the success of such ventures. There is too much involved. You will learn by doing. I suggest your break. Rob Knows, break at 10:05. Jane was deeply dissociated as usual. Mark is Bill's McDonald's entity name. The unscheduled session with Bill present took place last Saturday, January 23. Jane began speaking again in the same manner at 10:12. Seth, there is one point of help I can give you. Holding hands is most helpful. The feet, however, are also significant in placement. The best arrangement, when possible, physically, would be to have each individual sit with his feet together, and if possible, a circle being made also with the feet, or at least an arrangement where the feet touched. Sitting in various separated portions of the room usually is a disadvantage. Under some circumstances, as our sessions, this makes no difference. Your room dividers are even beneficial from this standpoint. Incense is good from two standpoints, of negative ions from smoke, and also because scent, smelling itself, has an electrical reality. Semi-darkness merely adds to dissociation and concentration, and the lessening of camouflage data is helpful. Various people will, of course, be of aid or a hindrance. Some alcohol in the system is, as I have told you, beneficial. For your purposes, drinking in excess is not beneficial. Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, for various reasons I will not go into now, may give you a slight edge. At many times, other days, because of weather, will take up the advantage. It is good for Rupert to wear dark clothing, not for any dramatic effect, but again for practical reasons that we will discuss thoroughly at a later date. Red can be a good color to wear under certain conditions, or violets. Yellow should be avoided. These are merely aids. The recorder worked because you wanted the recorder to work, and expected it to work. An excellent demonstration, my friends, on your part, not mine. If you are tired, I suggest a brief break, and I will speak very briefly before closing the session. Rob Knows, break at 10:26. Jane was dissociated as usual. Her eyes opened slowly. She now looked tired. During last Saturday's effort, Jane, Bill, and I sat in different parts of the room. Not holding hands, of course. We had been using incense during the evening. This is a habit we have cultivated somewhat since Bill introduced us to incense at the 86th session. We have not used it on session nights, however, since. Sunday night, while we had opportunity, Jane and I got out the recorder, and on the spur of the moment, to our surprise, we found that it worked perfectly. In fact, the quality of the tape we made was superior to any made before the machine ceased working several months ago. Recently, Jane and I had been talking about putting the recorder in shape again so we could record some more sessions. The last session we recorded was the 70th, on July 13, 1964, with John Bradley as a witness. Again, sitting down and with her eyes closed, Jane resumed at 10:33. Seth, all of this takes development. And again, rather than force and intensification before the subconscious is ready for such experiences, I would much prefer that you carry on as you have been at your own pace. There will be failures. This is to be expected, but you will learn from your mistakes as well as from your success. This sort of growth allows also for the development of inner discipline that will grow simultaneously with inner spontaneity, and a screening process of sorts develops that is indeed beneficial for your own protection. You two work very well together. Rupert displayed good sense Sunday evening in following your advice not to try to continue, but stopping where you did, and it is well for him to do so. There will be an interaction good for you both. it was natural for him to want to continue under the circumstances, but to continue would not have been wise. You will learn to feel your way. My fondest regard to you both. Rob notes, good night, Seth. End at 10:39, Jane was dissociated as usual. We tried an impromptu seance with our guests, Judy and Lee Wright, Sunday evening. We burned incense during the evening and while holding the seance, sat at a coffee table and held hands. As in the case with Lee and Joe Masters on the evening of November 24, 1964, see the 110th session, some results were obtained that did not involve Seth in any way. This time, Lee Wright seemed to respond to Jane's suggestions. Those suggestions were not specifically directed at Lee, but were generalized statements designed to set a mood, etc. In both of these instances, Jane appeared to act as an agent or catalyst. She does not yet know how she accomplishes this, but feels intuitively that it is so. It is of interest to note that Judy and Leo do not know about Seth or the existence of the material. Twice during the seance, Lee obtained effects or results which seemed to fit in with Seth's description of some of the inner senses and their use. Once he achieved a feeling of transportation psychically to another room, and another time he felt the room we were all gathered in had enlarged to a great deal. Jane and I have both approximated these sensations during psychological time experiments also. Lee Wright also breathed very heavily during the seance, felt a great relaxation, and yet also felt he could end the experiment at any time. After the second effect, he wanted Jane to continue. I felt that enough had been done for a start, and Jane added to my wishes.